On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
That's right, a whole week has gone by. Where does the time go? Right out the window. Yeah, something like that. This is the last Tory show of 2016. And the next one will be brand new into January next year, 2017. So what a year it's been. This should be my year in review. Should I do a year in review? I don't know what we're going to talk about. There's probably hardly anything, right? Well, George Michael just passed away. That's our latest celebrity passing. Death, doom and gloom. Yeah, he got out right under the wire. Christmas Day. Wow, that's a huge bummer. Nobody wants to die on Christmas. I mean, do you? I don't even think you want to be born on Christmas because then you get like one gift, right? Your birthday and Christmas are combined. So mine's right in the middle of the summer. I like that. That's perfect. That's where you want your birthday. It's like right in the summertime. Anyhow, so yeah, George Michael, man, we've had David Bowie and Prince. And I mean, there's been a lot of musicians that have gone this year in addition to a lot of celebrities and but wow, 53 years old. It's really sad. Anyway, so the year in review. I don't know. It's a little bit of Trump going on. That's like, we're going to talk about that every week, I think. Ron will talk about it. We'll talk about it because that big things are happening, big changes. The inauguration is next month. So, and I think he's still trying to get A-listers. But he said he doesn't want A-listers at his inauguration party. That's convenient because no one wants to be there. So I think he, what did he, I hear he has the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Is that what he has? And the Rockettes? Was that what I heard? Yeah, I think I did hear that. Wow, that's awesome. That's going to be quite the event. Can you imagine if Obama, when he was president, at one of his inaugurations, he got two. Donald Trump, there's no way he's getting two, if we even survive 4 years. Well, anyway, can you imagine if Obama had the Rockettes and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir for his inauguration party? Come on. He probably had, like, Sly and the Family Stone and Lenny Kravitz or just, I mean, I don't know. He had some hip people happening. It wasn't that. These white people, groups, giant groups of white people. I don't know. Come on, really. Just, we see it. We see what you're doing, Donald Trump. It's not funny. Okay. So what else? Oh, so Christmas just happened, too. Oh, yeah, that happened. Christmas happened. Hanukkah happened. I think Hanukkah's still happening. I think it just started the 24th, and you have so many days of it. Oh, Tori's tired. Tired of this year. This year better end. Anyway, so yeah, Christmas happened. And lo and behold, guess what happened to me on Christmas? I got a Christmas text. Merry Christmas. And it isn't just a Merry Christmas text because that's fine. I think I got two of those from two people, maybe three people, all by themselves. And that's perfect. To other people who I have since blocked and I'm not even going to talk to. I can't believe it that it has to be like this. But every year I think I get at least from one of these people, these mass texts with the group of Merry Christmas. So I got one and it's 30 people in it, I think each time. And they all say, yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to you. And your phone's blowing up. Meanwhile, I can't just delete. I think I have to delete. I had to delete each number, so it wouldn't come back to me instead of just the one person. So I had to take time out, 20 minutes, and delete each number. I mean, block each number, and the original person. And then it happened again. Christmas night, I had to start again with this new thing. So I'm like getting mad, and people are like offended that I'm mad on Christmas, because apparently on Christmas you can't get mad about anything. Everything's wonderful and rainbows and puppies. And it's not, especially my year. My Christmas was terrible. And these people, one of them at least, should know that. So again, I'm happy to get Merry Christmas, Happy New Year texts from one person, and I say thank you and same to you, and that's ended. Don't ever, ever put me in a mass text or a mass group thing for any reason. I hate it. At least on Facebook Messenger, you can like leave conversation. There's an option, and then you're never bothered again. I mean, that happens. People put me in those, whatever. I leave, the end. But with a phone, it's different. And really, just don't use your phone for that anymore. That's what Facebook is for anyway. My daughter even said that. That's what Facebook's for. Just do it there. Leave my phone alone. I'm going to change my number, and none of you will have it. And no one should have it anyway, apparently. Because Tori's in a bad mood for, like, this whole year. And I don't know if I will be in a better mood next year. Probably not next month. I don't have good hopes because of the presidency and all that's happening. So I'm still down. I'm still bummed. I'm not going to be real in such a great mood for the next month. So probably don't talk to me, I'm guessing. Anyway, my phone doesn't really ring. And that's fine. I like it that way. Now, what do you do in your spare time? See, I'm reaching for things to talk about, and I've already talked about this, and whatever. I've been watching Eight is Enough. Yes, the old show from 1977. It went on till 1981, but I'm only checking out the first season, all of season one, and then certain episodes for the other four seasons, because I'm not going to be bogged down into 5 years worth of shows. I just don't do it. I don't binge watch. I don't want it. And I think I've seen these years ago anyway, some of them. I didn't really watch the show religiously every week, which I think it was on Wednesday nights on ABC, but I'm not sure. I don't know why I remember weird stuff like that, but I do. Just like I remember Miami Vice was Friday nights at 10 p.m. on NBC. Loved it. That's a great show. That I love way more than Eight is Enough. Even though Eight is Enough is like happy and feeling good and family stuff, and Miami Vice is a complete 180 from that. It's got happening music. It's got murders and crime and vice. And it's in Miami, not Sacramento. And it's just got hot guys and women. And again, you know, look it up. Okay. They even made a movie with, I think, Jamie Foxx and maybe Colin Farrell in it. And I thought the movie was okay, but you can't replace Don Johnson and what's his name? Tubbs. Philip Michael. Oh, what's his name? Oh, why don't I know this? The only two guys, Edward James Olmos, I remember. I don't remember the women's names. I don't remember the other two guys' names. Oh yeah, I do. Like one was John Deal, and they killed him off with a heroin overdose. And that was super sad, super, super sad. But I think they did it for a reason. Just like with McLean Stevenson in MASH, he was Colonel Blake. They killed him off as well. Instead of just having him go home on the plane, like he was on his way home from Korea, they crashed the plane and killed him. And as I recall, don't quote me, but as I recall, it was because there was talk of him having his own series with Colonel Blake, and they didn't want him to do a spinoff, and they said, no, 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 your character's dead. The end. Ha ha. Ha ha. I did a Nelson. Ha ha. So I'm pretty sure with John Deal in Miami Vice, that was perhaps the same kind of story. They wanted the character dead. And I don't know how they work that on shows today, because again, those were fairly old programs. We talk about the 70s and the 80s. And soap operas, forget it. When I used to watch daytime serials many, many years ago, if someone died, they pretty much didn't die. That's what was crazy about these shows. There'd be some some, they, I don't know, they pretended to die, they faked a death, they came back as a ghost. I don't know, really, but all I remember is, like, characters reappearing even after they were dead, or somebody else would come with a, they'd come back with a different face. Somebody else would be playing them, and we had to accept that. Okay, they never replaced Susan Lucci, Erica Kane. They would never, ever do that. I mean, some soap opera characters were legendary. You're not going to be able to do it. Pretty much most of them you can, but certain ones, like Susan Lucci, you can't touch. And you know what's funny, bringing up soap operas for a second? I didn't know that some of them are still on, okay? I was looking through On Demand not long ago. And I think it was On Demand, or some show, some flipping channel thing. And I saw Young and the Restless. And I said, listen, wait, is this like an old soap opera channel where they show old soap operas? For what reason, I can't imagine, except to relive the old heydays of soap operas, which they're called soap operas because they used to sell laundry detergent on them. Oh, my God. Anyway. So Young and the Restless, it's still a thing. And I think Bold and the Beautiful is, too. I didn't watch those. As a matter of fact, I might have seen a couple Young and the Restless just to see. And when I looked it up online, there was this guy, Eric, somebody who was there forever. I think he's a fossil now or something, or he might even not be alive. But I just think it's pretty fascinating how that there's that's still a thing. I mean, I used to watch All My Children. I used to watch One Life to Live. I used to watch General Hospital and all the crazy storylines in Port Charles and Apple Valley, was it, I think, and all these made-up towns. And what was One Life to Live? I think that was, I can't remember the name of that one. The fake towns, again, you know. Anyhow, so watching those shows was great in back in the day when you're 20 or something, and you're home with kids anyway. And they were fun. I mean, they were a lot of fun. You couldn't miss a thing. I mean, I finally got a VCR at one point and could record some if I missed them. And I did, because it was that important. There wasn't like, you know, you could see it later. Anyhow, I'm getting way too off topic onto soap operas, which I just think it's funny that they're still on, even a couple. Whatever. There's so many more important things to watch. Now there's things like the Discovery Channel. My God, can't you just watch that? I mean, there's always been PBS, which is great. You could learn from that. But obviously, people were watching, choosing soap operas over PBS. But that was way years ago before they had all these cable channels. Now, go learn something. I think there's a Smithsonian channel and National Geographic. And I don't know, they sound like they could teach you a thing or two. So use your time wisely, people, wisely. So back to my original thought, which was the year in review in 2016 and what's going on and what's going to go on. And a friend of mine said he's going to be in his bunker. He's probably going to stock that up, you know, for the apocalypse. And I think that's wise. I mean, he lives out in Wisconsin, and that's the Midwest. And I don't know what you'd do way out there. You probably, it's like a cornfield, probably, or they have cheese and the Green Bay Packers. I don't know. But that's bunker land. Definitely you want to build it out there. I mean, we're over here on the East Coast. We're right near the water. We're probably a target for some nukes. I don't know. But I think with nukes, it kind of, it's over quickly. As long as you don't have radiation poisoning or sickness and your skin falls off and you're kind of hagging out with your canned beans. I don't know how that would even work. But don't put plastic on your windows. Don't fall for any, like, scams, these fly-by-night scams that are going to, you're going to nuclear proof your house, radiation proof it. No. I know you can't believe that that's a thing, even though you believe in zombies. Or do you? So it's all fiction. Thank you. So that's the first half of the Tori show. Yeah. So what's, stay tuned for the second half coming up right after this. Isn't that great? Ba da 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 da. All right, so that's like my favorite Herb Alpert song. It's A Taste of Honey. Anybody my age will love this. If you're not my age, you don't even care. You don't even know what it means. You probably think it's a Simpsons music thing. Anyway, this is the interlude before the second half of the show. Do you like it? I'm trying to think which one was the dating game theme. Because it was the dating game music. And it was when The Bachelors came out. They played one of the songs. I can never figure it out. I should Google it, of course. Let's find out. Okay, I found it. Yeah, see, it's not exactly what I remember. I think that's like the beginning anyway. There was some music they played, though, that was definitely Herb Alpert. And it was when they, I think when the dudes came out. And why was it always dudes? Why wasn't it ever chicks? And then there was a dude there. I mean, did they have a reverse one? Because they should definitely have done that. Okay. Breaking news, breaking dating game news. I didn't know. Okay, check this out. And you can look this up on YouTube exactly how I just did. And I had no idea this happened. Okay. The dating game. They, I can't even say it without laughing. And it's probably not funny. It's not funny. Okay, forget I just laughed. But there was a serial killer named Rodney Alcala that won as The Bachelor. Okay, that just sounds so bizarre. Like, that must be Snopes. I mean, that can't be a thing. Is that a thing? It's a thing. So, I don't know. Just look it up. Okay, dating game, serial killer, Rodney, whoever. He was sentenced to death in California. I shouldn't be laughing. I'm smirking a little. Okay, sorry. In 2010 for 5 murders committed in the state between 1977 and 1979. I got to see what this guy looks like. He was a killing machine. They said they've compared him to Ted Bundy, and I've never heard this. So all I did was look for the theme song, and look what I found. There's a documentary, a 40-minute documentary. I need to put this on my list of things to watch, or at least read. He's kind of a cute guy, I guess. Shows a picture of him, but I don't know. I'm never going on any dating games. It just sounds like a bunch of trouble, doesn't it? I mean, you don't even need to know. I don't know if there is such a thing anymore. It's called the internet. And if you're on it, you're going to find one of these Rodney dudes. I can guarantee it. So I would just recommend that you not do it and just watch the old reruns. Like, I live in my 70s land with Eight Is Enough. Watch happy shows. You know, it was a funny show, game show. And of course, there were a lot of game shows back in the 70s. I think the only ones left now are Family Feud and The Price is Right. And I'm trying not to laugh. I think they brought Match Game back with Alec Baldwin. I don't know. I hear rumors. Okay, that's something I might watch. You know why? Because I loved the original Match Game. They used to call it Match Game 73, I think. I don't know if that's how it started or if it was before 73, and then the next year it was Match Game 73. First it was Match Game, then it was Match Game 73, then Match Game 74, then 75. I think I liked 75. But anyway, Charles Nelson Reilly, Brett Summers was married to Jack Klugman. Oh, such useless information I have stored in my brain. Anyway, yeah, there's only like 3 game shows on right now. Bahaha, there's a game show channel, I think. Back in the day, man, it was all morning game shows, all afternoon soap operas, or probably soap operas and game shows. Everything. You were a true couch potato back then. Your brain was just being overtaken by television, by commercials, advertising. You were a sitting duck, man. That's kind of why I'm against it now. I don't know how much of it has changed, if they're still trying to hook you in. But I liked the Newlywed Game. That was funny. And whenever Bob Eubanks said making whoopee, whoopee, I'm a kid. I didn't know what he was talking about. And I guess that's the whole point. They had that weird adult language the kids didn't understand. Like when you're young enough, you can spell words like, oh, watch out for the STOVE. He's going to get near it. I don't know. Kids can't spell when they're real little. Then we can spell. So guess what? You got to make up words like whoopee. And you know what? That's like a real word because, I mean, expression, making whoopee. Because I remember there was a song, what that guy, what was his name? Eddie Cantor, maybe? Again, why do I know this stuff? I'm not even using the internet right now, I swear. It's in my brain, and I think I'm right. Anyway, yeah, so that's an expression that I've never used, and I'm never going to use it. That's the only time you'll ever hear me say it is right now. So better record it because I'm not doing it again. It's called silly. I don't approve. Okay, so I liked Newlywed Game. I liked, oh, the $10,000 pyramid. That was the original number, you know. It was $10,000. That was a lot of money. Then I think they made it like the $25,000 pyramid or something. I know they jacked it up. I know it got more expensive. The prize was like, whoa, I mean, more valuable. But boy, was it a nail biter because you'd hear the clock too. It's going dink, 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 dink as they're doing the thing. I guess they could hear it too. Talk about nerve wracking. You're sitting there in those chairs and one person sees all the answers and they're trying to feed them to you without screwing up. Sometimes they'd screw up and then you'd hear, and then you'd be like, oh man, they blew it. There's no way they're getting that money now. They got to get the little piddly amounts that they get from the like 250 and that one's worth 500. Nah, you didn't get the big bonus, dummy. And I also liked, was it Tattletales? Something like that. And I liked, yeah, the Tattletales, I think, was like a husband and wife team of celebrities that would go on there. And I liked, I mean, listen, man, I could go on all day about the game shows I liked because I watched them all like a weirdo. I loved Concentration, where you had to do the puzzle behind the squares and try to solve it. It was like one of those puzzles that you have with pictures. And what do you call that? An abacus? What do you call it? Abacus? Not an abacus. Maybe it is. I don't know. It's some word. Rebus. Uncle Rebus. Wasn't he on like Song of the South? That was Uncle Remus and the Tar Baby. And that movie is so hard to come by now because I think it was banned, that Disney movie Song of the South, because it's kind of racist, because of certain things. And I think the Tar Baby was one of them. I don't know. But yeah, the Concentration, I liked Concentration with, what was his name, the guy that hosted that? It wasn't Art Linkletter, but he had a name kind of like that. Anyway, I loved Concentration. Of course, Jeopardy. I guess that's a game show. Jeopardy's still on then. Okay. I'm Jeopardy. I'll give you Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune. Fabulous prizes. That reminds me of Rain Man, which is my favorite movie. One of them. Definitely top 10. And a friend of mine, Kathy, woohoo, shout out to Kathy, is going to Vegas next month. Yay, I've never been there. I'd love to go. I told my mom that when I said, oh, Kathy's going to Vegas. I'd love to go there. She goes, you're not missing anything. Really, mom? What a thing to say. I'm not missing anything. I would love it. I think it was my mom that said that. I don't really hang around with anyone else. Yeah, it was probably my mom. But my mom's not a gambler. She's not a Vegas person, obviously. Why would she care? My mom went to Oktoberfest in Munich or Germany or wherever they hold it. In Germany, but I'm not sure of the town. She had a sip of beer. Mom, stop that right now. Don't even go there. She brought me back a t-shirt and she had a sip of beer. That's cray cray. I would be trying every kind of beer, gluten or not. I'm sorry. I'm in Germany at Oktoberfest. There's going to be some drinking. I can pretty much tell you that. So anyway, yeah, Vegas sounds good. I would go with like a set amount of money, like $100. That's all. Like, what does a candy bar cost? $100. What does a new car cost? $100. I don't know. Rain Man. That's it. Matter of fact, when I watched The Reincarnation of Peter Proud for the 12th time, 1975, I've seen it so many times, and I always wanted to go to Springfield, Massachusetts, and go to the sites where it took place. I talked about it for years until one year I finally did it, 2012, 4 years ago. I have all the pictures. I went to all the places. It was awesome. I made a CD of the soundtrack, and I played it as we're driving down the streets of Springfield. It was surreal. I will never do it again, probably, but I did it once, finally. I watched the movie right before I went again, just to have it fresh in my mind. You don't know. Michael Sarrazin and Jennifer O'Neill. What a great movie. Oh, creepy. Love it. And I loved being in all the places exactly where they were when I researched it good. Had my notes and everything. And some of you on Facebook might remember that 4 years ago when I posted all the pictures, my Reincarnation of Peter Proud tour. Yep. I remember Phyllis Storr. You were there. You read the stuff and commented and liked it and remember the movie. And anyway, it was also a book, I'm pretty sure. But anyway. So yeah, game shows. Love my game shows. Don't watch them now, really, because it's not the same. You really know what? You can't go home again. You can't go back. So just hang on to the memories of the past, because it's done. It's not going to happen again. That's what we have brains for. Oh, God forbid you get like Alzheimer's or memory loss or dementia, because then, oh, that's my dad's worst fear. Right now he still can remember things, but he's thinking, oh, if my brain ever goes. Anyway, Dad's going to have a new puzzle in the New York Times. He's been on the phone with Will Short, my dad. Will Short is so famous. I heard his name in something recently, like a line in a sitcom or something. He's a guy. He's the New York Times crossword guy. So, yeah, he's going to have a new puzzle out. And I'll announce that when it happens. He had one a couple months ago. I forget what day it was on. I think it was November or October. But anyway, it happened. Look up Richard Wainwright, New York Times. I don't know. You'll find his puzzle. It's awesome. They paid him for it. Hundreds of dollars or something. And they're going to pay him again. They want him to keep contributing because he's super smart. And he does puzzles like that. Yeah. So we've exhausted this half hour once again talking about the 2016 in review, which was not anything. It was basically just Donald Trump and people dying. And we've talked about the game shows and 8 is Enough, old TV. I don't know, serial killers. We've covered a lot of stuff really in this 30 minutes. And group texting, don't ever, 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 ever group text me. I will block you for life. It won't even be a jail sentence. It will be a death sentence. I will not talk to you on the phone again. And I think I just blocked someone else for another reason. Not even tech group text, just regular text. I'm like, you know what? Leave me alone. I've had it with this year. Maybe just catch up with me next year. That would be a lot better. All right. Just catch me next year. There'll be Friday will be the Ron and Tori show. On ECAT. Well, that won't be out till next week, the week after. Okay, but anyway, Friday will be the pod with Ron, New England Broadcasting, and we'll see what I have to say with Ron. I'll ask Ron how he feels about group texting. He doesn't like texting anyway, so he's going to be on my side anyway about it. Just don't group text Ron either. Don't group text anyone, idiot. Thank you. Stop it. Okay. Until next time, America. Peace out. We'll be right back.